Welcome to the Coin Podcast Network. From getting to work and school, to getting outside and away from it all, weather impacts everything we do. And meteorologist Kelly Bayern wants to help you understand it all.
And a look at some stats over the...
From Portland's most accurate forecast team, this is your weather.
Hello, everybody. I am on Mount Hood right now. Sitting at about, GPS says, just under 10,000 feet. We're right near Hogsback and gonna get into Devil's Kitchen and all that jazz. There is some weather coming in, so we are trying to kind of hurry. So wish us luck. We're probably about 2 hours from the summit. Just a slog, not on skis anymore. The snow is fantastic and I cannot wait to ski down. So, all right, onward and upward.
So that was me last June attempting to make the summit of Mount Hood. And I'm happy to say I did make it to the top that day, but the clouds rolled in and we were socked in by the clouds. I didn't get to see much standing at 11,237 feet above sea level. In today's Your Weather podcast, I'm excited to chat about one of my favorite hobbies, and that's mountaineering. We have a lot of big peaks here across the Pacific Northwest that many folks attempt to climb throughout the year. I got a chance to talk to Gretchen Schwinn, the vice president of Portland Mountain Rescue, about how they gear up every season to help those in need on those mountains, and how the weather is typically the cause of every rescue mission.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can, yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you so much for speaking on your lunch break here.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to get a few bikes down right now, so.
Yeah, so, I am a huge mountain climber myself. Whoops. I grew up in Seattle and have climbed up Mount Rainier and Mount Baker, all the big stuff in Washington, and kind of working through stuff in Oregon now, too. So I'm really excited to speak to you about some of your climbing and what Portland Mountain Rescue does. So
yeah, so my name is Gretchen Schwinn. I currently I work as a certified nurse midwife here at Peace Health in Longview, Washington.
So I guess in your spare time you go out climbing quite a bit, huh?
Yeah, a lot of climbing, a lot of trail running. Yeah, just trying to be out in the mountains as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Have you always been around the Pacific Northwest? Is this kind of like your home territory?
Yeah, so I've pretty much been here my whole life. I did spend about 4 years in Durango, Colorado, which is where I got my first job out of grad school. So I spent some time down there, but otherwise I've been in either Washington or Oregon.
Very nice. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Portland Mountain Rescue. So can you tell me kind of about the organization and what you guys maybe strive to do as an organization for folks in the outdoor community?
Yeah, so PMR's mission is saving lives through rescue and mountain safety education. So we really appreciate opportunities like this to just talk about mountain safety issues. And so we do a lot of public outreach with education. Mm-hmm. But of course, our primary thing is doing rescues. We mostly do like high angle above tree line type rescues. Most of those end up being on Mount Hood. We do help out with lower elevation stuff as well when needed. Yeah, nice. We have 75 members that are active rescuers.
So how does a rescue work? If someone, I think maybe recently there was a rescue that I happened to glance over on Facebook, because I follow your guys' group on Facebook. And I think it was a couple that had fallen right above the fumaroles there. They were kind of on that last wall. And I think they were roped up, but they had fallen and maybe fell 400 or 600 feet near the opening. And so how did people get a hold of you guys to start a rescue?
Yeah, I mean, so luckily on most of Mount Hood, there's cell phone coverage. And so what people would need to do is first contact 911. So whether that's just on a cell phone on Mount Hood or if they're someplace else and have to evacuate first or get somebody to cell phone coverage, that's step one is contacting 911. Then the dispatchers call the sheriff's office. The sheriff's office calls us and then we dispatch out to the rescue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet you folks, some of those rescuers know Mount Hood like the back of their hand. You know, they could climb it with their eyes closed at this point. So.
Yeah, we have a few that are climb it fairly regularly, and some members that have been around a long time.
Yeah,
know that mountain.
Yeah, that is just the coolest thing. So do you guys mainly stick to Mount Hood then, or would you go help someone maybe on Jefferson or some of the other harder peaks that are in Oregon?
Yeah, so our main kind of client, if you will be Clackamas County, because we're part of Clackamas County Sheriff's Office. So we're always dedicated to our county, which typically tends to be like Mount Hood, Oklahoma County, so the gorge. But yes, any county that needs assistance can request assistance from PMR. And that's, again, a formal process. Their sheriff would contact our sheriff and then dispatch us out to a different county. But yes, we've definitely gone out to various counties in both Washington and Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Portland Mountain Rescue is a pretty official, like very established rescue group here. And you guys have been around for quite a while. Okay, so let's kind of talk more about weather specifics, because I know climbing, you have to kind of prep for the conditions ahead. So like in your experience, how has weather played a role if you're going to go out and attempt a summit? You know, let's maybe speak on climbing Mount Hood.
Yeah. Well, typically if I'm planning a climb, one, I just kind of look at the general season and what the weather tends to be like during that season, because that gives you an idea of how cold it's going to be, your abbey conditions, if you're going to expect more snow or more ice type stuff. So you kind of have that generic, like, just what's the season and what's the general like conditions typically like during that season. And then I'm usually looking at the weather forecasts and just following the weather for at least a couple days, if not a week ahead of time, just to kind of get an idea of how much has it been snowing, how whether the temperatures have been, how windy has it been, has it been really hot, and just kind of keeping a track of what's just going on up on the upper mountain, so you can kind of predict what conditions might be and be prepared for that. And then of course, you know, when the climb is imminent, we're getting ready to go, I'm looking at the weather that's going on right now, and I usually want to really know what the weather forecast is supposed to be 24 to 48 hours after the climb, because I want to know if something happens, like, is there a storm coming in, or are we going into a better weather window? So you can also kind of prepare for that as well.
Mm-hmm. So looking at kind of like the big picture, and then you really kind of refine the forecast as you close in on your summit attempt. So I guess before we kind of dive more into that, can you describe what it's like being on top of a summit? Because maybe some people listening have never mountaineered or been on an actual volcano summit. They've just, you know, gone on normal backpacking trips or some hikes. So like, what is the difference between hiking and then mountaineering or actually being on a summit of a volcano?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I think that's really hard to describe. I mean, in general terms, like very austere. I mean, you're up there. There's nothing really else around you. Can be kind of intimidating because, you know, you're at the top. There's no place else to go. But I mean, obviously, I mean, in generic terms, there's no trails, and weather can change very fast on the summit. You can be standing there and it can be blue, clear and perfect. And then you look down in your backpack and get your lunch and stand back up and you're in a cloud and it's turning in circles, not sure which way you just came from. So
yeah, I like to describe it as it's just all the more extreme, you know, like sometimes when you're starting on a summit, you're going to start at 1 or 2 in the morning. So it's dark and then you have that going for you. And then it's extremely windy. And it's a little less friendly in a way, you know, you're kind of like on this mission in these conditions that are a little more terrorizing in a way, like it's windy, it's cold, it's dark, and it's quiet. And then you're just walking kind of in your own head, even, you know, in your group, but you're not really talking too much. And then you get to the top and then you get the views, maybe a sunrise too. And that's kind of like the reward, but it is much different because weather can change so quickly. And that happened to me on Mount Hood, actually. I was skinning up and we were in the sunshine. I kind of knew a storm was coming, but I was pushing it and hoping we could make the summit and back down before the storm arrived. And I was getting these weather alerts from our Coin6 weather app that a thunderstorm was in the vicinity while I was on the summit. And then all of a sudden we started to hear thunder. Got no more news. It was hailing on us and we were like, this is not
this is not the place to be right now. We need to go. So that was a little risky, but it was still the most fun adventure. But really cool to see how within a matter of 2 hours we were in the sun and then we were completely socked in a thunderstorm and we're skiing down in the whipping hail. It was incredible in a way. Just so different.
And it's a good time for a break right now. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Executive producer Ian Costello here, coming to you from the Work From Home Coin Podcast Studios. When we started our podcasts back in February of 2019, we had no idea that we would end up here. Now, a year and a half later, tens of thousands of you are listening to hundreds of our podcasts, and we need to make some changes to grow even further. That's why, starting this week, you can find all of the Coin Podcasts in one place. The brand new Coin Podcast Network. From Beaver Smack to Writer's Block. From your weather to our constant coverage of the coronavirus pandemic and the protests in Portland. It is all available in one place. So, to keep hearing the podcasts you already love and to discover more of our exclusive audio content, head to coin.com/podcasts or search Coin, that's K-O-I-N, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, or Podbean. Thank you for listening.
Okay, so can you talk about maybe the typical mountaineering season in the Pacific Northwest? Because, you know, hiking, you can maybe go out when the weather is just nice, you know, multiple seasons, even in the wintertime. But is there a specific time in your book that you think is the safest or the most successful for mountain summits?
Yeah, sure. Definitely. I think in the Pacific Northwest, kind of prime volcano season is typically like late spring to early summer. That's when the snow has stabilized, your risk of avalanche stuff is less. It's, of course, there's always issues with that, but definitely less. Weather tends to be better, but things aren't so melted out that you have issues with rock and ice fall and crevasses being open and stuff. So usually like late spring, early summer is really late good. Like May through June, maybe early July. Right about now, I mean, Mount Hood season's definitely out. The crater's way too melted out and definitely issues with rockfall and icefall. Mount Baker, sometimes the crevasses get too big and are really hard to pass around.
Yeah. I think in my experience, it's always been around the August timeframe where it's kind of the end of the season. I was hoping to get up Mount Jefferson, but kind of forgot about planning a trip, and then it was, you know, August already. I think conditions are a little too poor, because it does matter. The heat in the summer kind of melts away certain structures and kind of hurts the snow profile, so makes it a little more dangerous to get up some of those peaks. So that kind of makes sense, and it's a quick window, you know, if you've got a lot of plans. So
yeah, and if you're experienced enough, you know, you can go in winter, but that's definitely a whole different ball game right there to go in the winter and to the mountain.
Do you think there have been more successful summits in the summertime than in the wintertime for Mount Hood then?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Right. I mean, I feel like I've seen more and more people summiting in the winter lately. I think just an increase in like people who are wanting to ski and whatnot. But yeah, definitely May and June are probably by far the most popular season.
And do you think that's because the snowpack is just a little bit softer? Does it have to do with some of the temperature profiles of the snow and kind of like how strong some of the snowpack is?
Yeah, so in the springtime by then, it's gone through a lot of melt-freeze cycles. So the sun is heating up the snowpack during the day. It melts a little bit, gets a little slushy, and then at night it refreezes. And over time, that stabilizes the snowpack. And so you're not post-holing so much, your layers go away and you kind of get this more consolidated uniform pack that's safer, easier to walk in.
I remember I did attempt Mount Hood in the wintertime and the whole mountain was covered in rime ice. We got up to maybe around 96,000 feet and then called it quits. There were a lot of people out during that time too. I think it was like a weather window where it was just a nice ridge of high pressure, no clouds, perfect sunshine, but it was just so cold and windy that I think the ice falls up at the pearly gates were not safe. And then the ice was so crunchy, we couldn't even ski down at this point. So it was definitely a cold adventure.
Yeah. Malibu definitely gets some very interesting ice formations, which has definitely led to accidents over the years for sure. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you speak a little bit more about these pearly gates that I know a lot of people hear about? It's kind of like the ice falls or that area where a lot of ice builds up, and it's almost like the door to the summit on Mount Hood, which makes it a little more of a tricky climb. Like, I've heard people say it's a beginner mountain, but there have been so many folks that have had to turn around just because the conditions in the pearly gates are so bad. So can you kind of talk about that area?
Yeah, it's definitely changed over the years. It changes throughout the season. It can be an easy kick step, walk up with nice firm snow, or it can be a technical ice step depending on conditions. Definitely earlier in the season, it tends to be more of an ice step where you do need like two tools and probably somebody to, lead it and lay people up. Mm-hmm. Then as the season goes on and that ice breaks down, it becomes, more of that, walk up that people are a little more comfortable with. But even still, it's very steep. It's very exposed feeling, especially walking down. If the weather's clear, you're looking completely down the mountain. It can be very intimidating walk down. And then you have the gates themselves, the actual rock features that are covered with rime ice. And they can usually are shedding some amount of ice, but if you're too late in the season, too late in the day, and that's getting warm, that can produce a lot of very dangerous rock and ice fall coming down from that.
Oh, that's interesting. Like the rock itself heats up and maybe causes some melting. I never thought about that. I remember I wanted to get up there so badly. I didn't care. I didn't believe that it could be so dangerous. But once I finally summited, I'm like, this is the scariest part of the entire climb. Like, this is so steep and there's so much ice. It was almost like a different planet up there. And I did use two different ice tools to kind of climb my way up. So really fun adventure up there. So in terms of people who are looking to climb, what are some weather hazards that maybe climbers tend to run into that they don't look for? And then maybe what are some forecasting tips that you would recommend maybe just for Mount Hood?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest one that it's just, like we were talking about, as you're climbing up, your head's down, you're kind of in your own little world, in your own little bubble. And, maybe you started out and the weather's a little iffy and people just keep climbing and they're not really paying attention to what's going on around them. And all of a sudden they look up and realize they're in a whiteout and they're not sure where they are. And they turn around and aren't sure which way to go. And so that's number one, is just as you're out there to keep your eyes up and like really paying attention to your surroundings. And if the weather is deteriorating, to, turn around and to not like keep climbing into bad weather. Because every year we have at least one rescue, if not multiple, of that exact scenario. Somebody hiked into bad weather or the weather deteriorated around them and then they couldn't get back down. Mm-hmm. So that's a big one. As far as weather forecasting, I mean, I'm a big fan of looking at multiple different sites for my weather forecast because they're all going to give you something a little different. So I usually start out with weather.gov because you can get pinpoint forecasts. So you can click right on the different elevations on Mount Hood and see what the temperatures are supposed to be. And then I look at other, so whether it's a local news channel or there's climbingweather.com, just to kind of get an idea what the different models are saying. Mm-hmm. And I also think it's really interesting to actually read like the forecast discussion, like what's actually going on in the atmosphere. And at first, when you first start reading them, it might not make any sense. But as you spend more time in the mountains and reading these forecasts and then like, oh, this is what happened on this day and this is what the weather forecast said, you can start to kind of put the pieces together yourself. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as a meteorologist, it's great to hear someone who maybe didn't study weather, like sound so excited about, trying to forecast on their own and knowing that there are resources out there that'll tell them a forecast, specific to a climbing, adventure or trip coming up. So that's really cool that it sounds like you do know a lot about the forecast, at least in terms of setting up a trip. Very cool.
Yeah. I'm in the process of becoming an Abby 1 instructor. And so a lot of reading weather forecasts and telemetry and looking at snowpacks and stuff. So it is pretty fascinating.
So would you recommend someone who's never summited a mountain, but, you know, has heard about the local ones around and maybe has their eye on Mount Hood, would you recommend that as their first mountain or maybe try something else in the neighborhood?
You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with doing Mount Hood as your first mountain as long as you've done the physical training and the technical practice beforehand. It was my first mountain and definitely been a lot of my friends' first mountains. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I think going either with very experienced people or a guide, taking a class like through the Mazamas, basic climbing school, or one of the other climbing clubs or guide service climbing program, I think is really important because you do need to know how to like use your crampons and self-arrest.
Yeah. I think a couple friends have really begged me to guide them up the mountains and I'd love to go again, but I'm always a little, you know, weary that they have the, you know, the power and the mental fortitude to kind of you know, make it up there because it is such a different hobby than your typical, you know, backpacking trip. So it's just a whole different beast of a hobby, but it's really rewarding one once you make it to the top and it's kind of like that type two fun where you feel it a week later. You're like, that was cool. And in the moment it was horrible. So I always try and like warn people about that. Like you'll have fun, but it'll be later. Awesome. Do you have any other future climbing goals or maybe any goals with Portland Mountain Rescue as a leader? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping to continue to work with our team to, you know, increase our diversity in the teams. So that's probably one of my bigger goals with that. As far as climbing goals, I don't know. I don't, it's kind of been a weird year with COVID. We kind of went in our spring season with some goals and then we kind of backed off from those. So nothing on the horizon right now, but very cool.
Thank you for your time. It was really great to speak with you.
Yeah, it was nice to talk to you.
And hopefully it gets the word out that you guys are out there and doing some great things for the community. So yeah,
great.
Thank you for everything you do and for the interview.
Yeah.
Have a good one. I'll see you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Coin Podcast Network. You can listen to more great Coin podcasts on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Please listen, download, subscribe, and review.